This is Steve Soto from half the bands that ever came out of Orange County, and you're listening to Radio As I Want. One more time.
Once again, beating on your undeserving eardrums,
it's Radio Like You Want.
With your hosts, Mike Routier
and Blag the Ripper.
Oh, yes, Blag the Ripper back once again with my main man, Mike Routier.
Well, what's happening, Blag? So beautiful to be here.
You are a mythical figure, Mike, and this week we got a hell of a show. We are talking to a pioneer of punk rock labels. This is Lisa Fancher from Frontier Records. She put out some of the greatest and grooviest in Southern California punk. All kinds of crazy bands in a crazy, crazy era.
She is a crazy chick. She's a really cool chick. She's been doing it for 30 years, running Frontier Records, put out some of the greatest SoCal punk bands, like you said. And they're also doing a big celebration this Sunday at the Echoplex down in Echo Park, November 7th. A lot of the great bands that she put out are on the bill. Adolescents on there. Middle Class, Inventors of Hardcore, doing a reunion show. Avengers playing there. Rick Agnew doing a solo set. The Stains are reuniting. Man. Flyboys, much more, all hosted by the front off man, Keith Morris.
Orange County royalty coming to L.A. You got to check that out if you're down there. And, of course, here on Radio Like You Want, we got a lot of our features this week. We're featuring Ari up on the old Estrogen OD.
Big RIP
Ari
to her.
Ari went down, but we have not forgotten her. We got It Came From the Garage. We got the Globetrotter. We're going all over the globe. So stick with us this time around. I'll tell you what, Mike. We are going all the way with Lisa Fancher. It's Radio
Like You Want. Take it away, Steve Soto.
Lisa Fancher, that owned Frontier Records, used to like love having Frank and I around because we were stupid little kids. It would get drunk and make jokes and kind of keep everything lighthearted. We were there for the TSOL record.
Right.
And I think she just liked kind of having us around.
Now why?
Everybody knew Shan Burrell, but he hasn't been at school for a couple of months. His mother, Jackie.
There is a big problem going on out there that people don't want to see, don't want to admit to.
Mrs. Burrell has been going through a personal hell since her son ran away in December.
He is punk, probably hardcore.
When her son disappeared, they found this in his school locker. Pages of satanic drawings, messages from punk records.
This is a religion, a cult, not just a passing fancy.
Shan's scribblings are not just offensive punk graffiti, but aggressive and threatening to himself and others.
Or a 15-year-old boy or girl in two punk essentially tells mother, you bitch, clean the room yourself. We have a distinct problem.
Circle Jerks right here on Radio Like You Want. My name is Mike Black in the studio with me. Let's take a listen to what we just heard right there. Circle Jerks, What's Your Problem? Group Sex from Frontier Records. That's
now
right, 1980.
That was a classic. You know, for a young punker from Illinois, if I might wax nostalgic for a moment. Mike,
get back to a happy place there, Black.
Seeing the Circle Jerks in that Decline of Western Civilization movie, seeing Black Flag, seeing the Germs, seeing Fear, I mean, it just opened up a whole new thing for you. And the Circle Jerks were right there. Classic record, Group Sex. You got to love it.
Yeah, one of the best. It's a must-have for any punk fan. Before that, The Bags, We Will Bury You, another old-school L.A. band. Lisa Fancher from Frontier Records is re-releasing all the Danger House stuff. So she's putting out a couple comps of the singles, Danger House Volume 1 and 2. That one's included on Danger House Volume 2. And before that, TSOL with another classic from them, Die For Me from their Dance With Me.
A truly dirty band with tales of plenty, man. I mean, you know, I'm always bugging people, give us the dirty stories. Jack will give you the
Jack
dirty
stories.
Jack will
give them to you.
I'm promising you the Jack interview. Maybe we can get Irons in here, too, and really knock it down.
We should. Jack that and I share a hometown, and growing up in the age of TSOL, he was something of an urban legend for us, a sort of urban mythical guy where he was the boogeyman for sure.
He told me they did their whole first tour siphoning gas across the United States. So
yeah, we'll talk about that a little
rock,
bit,
folks.
Talk about that a little later. And we started things off with No Way. Now let's get into this interview with Lisa Fancher.
Oh, man. Now, it sounds like we recorded this in an airplane hangar, so forgive us, folks. But yeah, this is the straight truth from Lisa Fancher. Take it away, Blag. Lisa, look at all these classic records you've put out. It reads like a who's who of the Los Angeles punk scene, and right from the very beginning. I mean, you start with the Flyboys. Your first big one is the Circle Jerk Group Sex, one of the all-time great hardcore records. Look at this, Mike. TSOL, Adolescence, China White. I mean, this is already our playlist. We don't even have to do any work on this one.
Yeah, I know. You just play it in order, and you're golden. And then you finish up with like the Weirdos and Danger House and all that.
I mean, I guess the question I have is, how does a gorgeous young woman figure out what the next musical trend is going to be and jump on it and get all these people to sign with her? What was your secret?
I don't know. I really don't know why I had the audacity to go up to them and go, "You want to put out a record?" And they were also crazy enough to say, "Sure, why not?" So a lot of them had already worked with Posh Boy, and then of course I was the obvious choice after they'd done that.
Anybody is after they deal with Posh
Boy.
Luckily
for me, there wasn't many labels around. There was just Slash. There was like four, you know, SST was doing their own thing. They didn't really sign a wild amount of bands at that time. So kind of right place at the right time. Thank goodness I didn't bother to go to college.
You are already well into the punk scene, right? I mean, I know you were the president of like the Dickies fan club and worked at Bomp Records.
Yeah, I was a fan of the bands, and I interviewed a lot of them, and I also had a fanzine, and, you know, just kind of knew them and bumped into them, and I had written an article about the OC punk scene called The New Beaches for New York Rocker, and I don't know, it just seemed like something to do. I never thought it would last.
What was the difference between the LA and the OC punk scenes?
It was a different look and a different sound completely. Yes, it was punk, but it was pretty divorced in every single way from, you know, the artsier LA stuff, but I don't know if that's a good word for it, but arts, you know, like Danger House, like there was more of an art school scene where the OC and the beat stuff was just total testosterone and hurting each other and stuff.
Do you have any kind of a idea why the major labels missed the boat on this scene so much? If it was the big thing going on in LA, why were they so afraid of this, and why were you able to come in and seize all of these bands?
I don't know if they knew it was happening, and B, I think it would probably scare them if they thought, like, you know how they always have to sell millions of records. I don't know if they thought that they could like tame any of these people enough and their crowds to actually buy tons of records. I really don't know. I mean, majors really weren't particularly on top of anything. I mean, I can't think of anybody that, you know, until we got into serious new wave horrors before they were on a major label, I can't think of any of the early wave at all that got signed. I think they were so lame. They didn't even know what college radio was or touring or anything. They kind of came along a little bit down the line. But thank goodness they missed out on it.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, thank goodness.
You know, aside from why everybody else was sleeping, I just wonder, why didn't you sort of affiliate with one of these existing labels? What made you go DIY and set up your own?
You know, I'm just not a joiner. I never have been. I never had a partner. Never even wanted to have anybody give me any input. You know, I kind of just worked directly with the bands and let them have as much artistic control as I could possibly give them. Of course, as long as they could do it for no money, but that was the only stipulation. But other than that,
it's always part of the deal.
Yeah, it was just part of the deal. I did the first handful of records I did was all just a one-off, taking the studio. You know, like I think Suicidal was the longest we ever spent in the studio. It was probably like 5 or 6 days. But you know, all those early records were like 2 or 3 days, like the Adolescents. And I had to babysit all of them, I might add, because if I didn't, they were, you know, just like Tony, you know, taking a fire extinguisher to the mixing board and stuff like that. So.
I'm a sheriff, keep me out of trouble.
And if you want anarchy, come to Razor's Room, a jumble of punk and junk. But he and his friend Jamie are just posers, to use a punk word, not old enough to take on the world yet, just their parents.
Do you have any great dirty stories about Lisa from back then? I don't know if she'll tell us
any. I don't have any dirty stories about anybody. And I haven't written my book yet. When I write my book, there'll be dirty stories in that.
Do you promise there'll be dirty stories?
I promise.
A great song from a great band. And I'll tell you what, if you missed our classic interview with Xene, you got to get yourself over to RadioLikeYouWant.com and download the podcast, Mike.
That's right. We got all the shows lined up and ready to go right there. If you missed them live, no worries, my friends. Yeah, that's the original version of Los Angeles right there, the version they released on Danger House. As I mentioned last break, Lisa Fancher of Frontier Records is putting out all the Danger House stuff, highly collectible stuff. She's coming out with a couple of comps, Danger House 1 and 2. That one's on Volume 1.
So that was pre-Ray Manzarek, pre-Doors influence.
Right, no one's stomping on the organs on that one.
All right, before that, we heard The Stains. That was Nowhere.
Yeah, that's a classic one there from SST Records, Greg Ginn's label that he put out all the Black Flag stuff on. That's been a rare out-of-print one for a long time. It's up on the wall, $500 million, the whole thing. Kind of like Sugar Fix, right, Flag?
Oh, yeah.
And they put that one. Lisa's re-releasing that one. No more. You can afford it now. You can put your lunch money together and go pick up The Stains, self-titled from 83. How about that?
All right. And before that, we heard China White with Criminal. I'll tell you what, Lisa Fancher is getting some of the great old stuff back out again, and we pressed her for details. We got her to tell us what she was about, where she came from, what she was doing, and most importantly, what Mike Muir looks like naked.
That's what we all want to know. If you want to hear some of these bands, head on down to Echoplex, Echo Park, this Sunday, November 7th. You can catch the Frontier 30th Anniversary Show, Adolescence, Middle Class, Avengers, Rick Agnew, and a reunited Stain set right there. Let's get back into this Lisa Fancher interview, I think, in this segment. We're
in the hip-hop world,
crazy Mike, stories about bands.
They call her MC Fanchy Fanch. I don't know if you knew that.
Actually, they call her that just in the regular world walking around, too, which is kind of bizarre.
Well, let's get back to the aircraft hangar interview. Take it away, Blag, you good-looking guy.
I'm just going to throw out the name of a group, and I want you to tell me the first thing you think about them, the Circle Jerks.
Circle Jerks, 15 songs in 14 minutes.
TSOL.
Jack chopping a hole through a wall with an axe.
The Adolescents.
Amazing Melodies, the ABBA of punk rock.
Christian Death.
Roz's Crispy Cat and his boyfriend Ron Athey.
The 3 o'clock. I remember them.
Torrance Beatles. I don't know.
Suicidal Tendencies.
So influential. I don't know. Poor things. Suicidal. You know what? I just found their demo tape today. I was cleaning up my record room. I found the demo tape from 1982.
Re-release coming out. I can hear a special
package. I know. Yeah, I wish. Suicidal. Most violent fans ever of anybody ever.
Agreed. And that means Dwarves fans too, Black. Sorry.
Our fans are dumb, but they're not armed.
They were banned from playing in L.A. for many, many years.
What do you think it is about Suicidal's music that brought out that response? Or was it more just the skater element?
Were just so excited to see them play because it took them a long time to get, my record out. And they just had this whole groundswell of kids that wanted to be, their fans. And they were definitely like gang members. They weren't kidding around, weekend punks. They were really scary Venice people.
Yeah, they were the
real
deal.
I don't even know if they liked other bands. I really don't even know if they followed other music or anything. They were just Suicidal fans. Oh, I'll tell you another insider story. They were on Miami Vice Court. I decided to go along just to make sure that they didn't beat anyone on the set or kick Michael Mann's ass or anything. So I'm waiting inside the ticket area, and Mike Muir shows up on crutches. And I was like, what? You can't play a TV show on crutches. And he had gone to a party the night before and, gotten some kind of a huge fight with a party, like a whole party. He managed to stand up long enough to sing Institutionalized on Miami Vice, but...
All he wanted was a Pepsi, Lisa.
Yeah, I know, and I would give it to him.
And how are you supposed to know what his best interests are?
Full of power, all the impressive things come on it. Full of tires, fear school, Johnny Grandma, your music.
Stop and start.
Give it down.
Go on and live.
Sick and tired.
No one cares.
Feel like
it sucks.
And if you don't think the punk movement is growing, check the walls of your city. They're concrete newspapers. Society values, punk is against. Whatever society abhors, punk is for.
Of being. So why am I here? I'm tired of lying.
SOL right here on Radio Like You Want. I'm Tired of Life. That's another one from their classic Dance With Me, 1981 on what? Frontier Records, of course. Before that, we heard Red Cross. Now, fast living, die hard Circle Jerks fans might recognize the riff from that one. That one's called Cover Band Red Cross EP. I think the Circle Jerks morphed that into Live Fast, Die Young.
Well, now, wasn't Hetson an original Red Cross guy?
I think he took that riff with him.
Back in the Annette's Got the Hits days?
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite version of Red Cross, I got to admit, is when they went kind of glammy and started doing cover songs in the mid-80s. They added the extra D and put the K in front of the name. I don't know. I think that was really the
found their sound.
I think so, but I mean, I guess in punk rock days, they were sort of they represented the really little kids that were playing hardcore. I don't know.
Well, there's a big Red Cross Circle Jerks connection there, of course. Greg Hetson coming over the Circle Jerks to found it, but now Keith Morris's new band Off has a Red Cross member Steve McDonald in there as well. So they're still playing together after all these years.
That's what I like to hear.
And we started things off with the classic Suicidal Tendencies self-titled release, Suicidal's an Alternative. That one that came out in 1983 pretty much so put Lisa Fancher's Frontier Records on the map because of their big hit, Naturally. And I remember when that one came out in 1983, Flipside's most beloved and hated band.
And now we're back to the beloved and hated Lisa Fancher on Radio Like You Want.
What went on? Violence, sex, bloodshed, nudity. We want to hear it all. Tell me a random TSOL story.
Random TSOL. Well, when we were recording the record, when somebody wasn't working, they would tell me stories about how they would, like, rob houses. And literally Jack would say, like, yeah, we could have got in through the front door and that would have been funny. So we decided to take a pickaxe or a sledgehammer and just, you know, bust through a wall just because that was the more shocking way to come home.
You're lucky you never had to tell that one in court. You're just telling it on a radio for fun.
I'm just telling you, I'm not even saying it's true.
Jack once told me that they did their entire first tour by bringing a gas siphon and siphoning gas across America.
And a crowbar for the pool machines at the clubs.
That's right, yeah.
That's very, very resourceful of them, because they don't ask for tour support, they make their own tour support. There was a lot more sexy stuff going on with the Go-Go's area, that Canterbury thing, like everybody was doing everybody else. The punk thing was weirdly kind of asexual. They had girlfriends, it was really kind of, in that department, I can't think of the single awesomely gossipy thing I could tell you, I swear to God.
Some things never change. The punk bands are still asexual. The dwarves have been trying to change that for 25 years.
Single-handedly try to change that. I mean, Ross had his whole thing going on. That was kind of a pan.
Oh, right. All the Lunchbox girls. There has to be some good sex from there, Lisa, down at the Zombie Zoo. Tell me what went on.
I can't think of a single. You know, Ron and his boyfriend, Roz and Ron, relentlessly were Mac Daddying on Frank Agnew, like, full time. But I know they never scored, but it was just their pursuit.
He's going to love that.
What was it like to be surrounded by so many male chauvinist pigs that weren't showing you the respect you deserve?
They were all scared to death of me, I'll tell you that much right now. It was nice, but they never stepped. I never had anybody step out of line. I miss not being the slut girl in those years. I really wish, had I a time machine.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, Lisa.
Would have done all the bands, and everybody would have said I only signed the bands because I slept with them and all that kind of stuff. But too late now.
I just want some sky. Every night, you're so great. I take you home. isn't pretty. All the people look the same. Don't they know they're so damn lame? There she goes. Creepy suit, spandex pants, cowboy boots. I just don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know what I'm gonna do. They don't have to move from Beverly Hills, Century City. Everything so nice and pretty. And all the people, they look the same. But don't they know they're so damn lame?
For the Valley Girls used to talk trite, punkers now talk dirty. Perhaps punk's most dangerous new phenomenon.
Avengers on Radio Like You Want. I got you with that one, Mike. That's right. People don't know Michael Jackson stole that from the Avengers. We are the one.
He shamelessly took that for Penelope and the Boys. Yeah, right there.
Before that, we heard Rick Agnew. Oh, no, we didn't hear Rick Agnew, but we did hear the Circle Jerks with Beverly Hills, Century City, and I Just Want Some Skank. Two of the all-time greatest tunes in punk rock history, Mike.
That's right. You can't beat those. Repeated over and over and over and over again. But hey, they just keep getting better every time, right?
That's right, man. You know, giving people old songs that they already know and have is a big part of what we do here at Radio Like You Want. We want to bore you with stuff you already know. It's what we do.
It's our burden to bear. If you missed any shows, check us out. RadioLikeYouWant.com. It's got all the podcasts. Go ahead and download those.
Give them the phone number. Give them everything. Tell them what to do.
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot with the phone
right.
number.
You never know the phone number.
I don't know the goddamn
phone number. It's 976-666. Listen, we have been getting great phone calls and hilarious things. Some of them are a little too dirty to throw on the air, which is weird for us.
Yeah, but, real spooky.
Keep those messages coming. We'll have the number for you later on. But RadioLikeYouWant.com. We're going to make it all interactive.
The number's there. It's on the website. Also, the Facebook link, the podcast, the whole nine, a little thing about me so you know who the fuck I am. It's all there.
Mike, you are a good-looking young man with a big record collection.
It's very true.
But we got to get back into it now, all right? This is part 4, 5, 8 of Lisa Fancher on radio.
Like you want.
What is it that pisses you off? I mean, can you really fault a band for going to a major and trying to make some bucks? Or what's the
I would never fault anybody for trying to make a better living, because obviously I can offer them nothing compared to Columbia other than artistic freedom. I'm not even saying Columbia, but Virgin, whatever it is. But if they're signed to me for more than one record, then we should all be a partner when they go to leave, instead of just saying, hey, fuck you, you know.
No one really knows what to do in the music business these days and where labels are going. How are you able to survive through that? What's your secret?
I cannot even cut back my overhead anymore. I mean, I'm so close to the bone. I used to have an office and, you know, employees. I had a New York office. I mean, that's a long time ago, in the 90s. But I work at home now. I'm just taking it, you know, month to month. I had yet another distributor go bankrupt on me last year, so... losing all that money for the first half of 2009 and then surviving while you're waiting for the new distributor to sell your stuff and pay you. None of those things are fun. They never were and they never will be. So just, you know, waiting for people. I have a bunch of great stuff in the pipeline. I just can't put it out right now.
Yeah, good segue, because you're putting out a lot of great re-releases. I mean, the middle class stuff that you put out is fantastic. It's been in the vaults for years. You got the Danger House comps, the weirdo stuff that you put out a lot earlier. But you got some cool stuff coming out, too. The Yes LA.
Yeah, I'm going to completely repackage the Christian Death record. While I was pawing around in my garage, I found Roz's original artwork, which is pretty close to what you see, what you've seen all these years. But, you know, you made a few spelling mistakes and everything, and I'm like, ah, fuck it, who cares? Yes LA, I have always had that in the catalog, but just, I didn't know if people would buy the one-sided vinyl, but there's been enough clamoring.
Vinyl's really coming back, and is that going to come out like the original package, like the clear vinyl with the print on the front and everything?
Exactly like it, except, you know, I will make it won't completely exactly, because I don't want people to sell it as the original, but as close as I can make it look like the first press, I definitely will. I'm going to reissue the Stains record that was on SST that's never been on CD.
Excellent.
All kinds of stuff.
Wow. You're still at it. Still having fun.
Still at it.
30 more years ahead of you.
Now, Lisa, the label is 30 years old, but here on your resume it says you're 33. I mean, how do we...
No, it's hard to believe.
How do we reconcile this?
I was a very talented child. I was like Lena Zavaroni. Could do everything.
Lena Zavaroni. Now you're really dating yourself.
Ah, you just blew it,
Listen,
Lisa.
No, you didn't.
Now, Lisa, you didn't give me any dirty stories about yourself, so I'm going to have to find some. Now I'm going to have to go searching around, because now I'm intrigued. Mike, we're going to have to find something here. Or just make it up. Like, you know, how about the whole Lisa and Darby Crash romance story?
Oh, that'd be great.
We could start that rolling.
Oh, I know. I did all of the mentors. Did I leave that out?
You're a punker for life, Lisa. We love you out here at Radio Like You Want. And wow, I don't know what else to say. Lisa has exhausted me. She's put out every record ever. She knows everybody ever. And she's just cool as fuck. What else can you say?
I know. She's put out some of my most favorite records of all times. And Lisa, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Congratulations on 30 years of success. And we look forward to 30 more.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Punkers in the United States, for the most part, are coming from middle-class homes where the families have essentially had middle-class values.
And Greg Bodenhammer makes his living helping the middle class cope with this new reality. He runs an organization called Back in Control. Greg Bodenhammer and his back and control group do well catering to the fears of the middle class. For a decade, he's run a depunking center, counseling parents to take punk seriously.
Circle Jerks performing Behind the Door from their classic Group Sex album, but that one comes live from the House of Blues in 2004. Before that, we heard The Weirdos' Life of Crime from Destroy All Music 7-inch, but of course you can pick that up from Frontier Records, right? Blag, you ever heard that song before?
Oh, man, I'm looking for a copy. I sang that live at Leeds, of all places,
really?
With Turbo Negro, who
is that right?
are no longer with us. So
yeah, that's you should call him up, see if you can get a gig. Weirdos.
I know. Hey, man, put me in your band. I party. I don't know. I don't know if I could ever be as fat as Hank, but, you know.
It's
fun to try there,
Blag.
Yeah, that's right.
You released that one, actually, on that Bomp Comp, the compilation.
That's right. Well, my old band Penetration also did Life of Crime, so that was a big one for me.
That's
I must have stumbled on that single.
Blag.
And I got to thank Lisa for putting that in my world. Now, we had a pretty tame interview with Lisa. I mean, it was interesting, but we didn't really get to any dirty stuff until...
Uh-huh. Now, wait. Yeah, you did your best, Blag. I mean,
God,
I really got ahead of you.
I kept trying to get her because I knew.
She did. And she was a really cool chick. It was a lot of fun to interview her. She wrote us a cool email afterward just thanking us. That was super fun. I really blanked out on the whole gossip thing. I swear, none of those hardcore bands had any girls after them at all. Most of them had steady girlfriends, even the ads, who were way too young for that attitude. Stupid musicians. Here's where it gets
Orange
good,
County.
Blag.
Yeah.
She goes on to say, not then, but later down the line, I fucked, quote, someone, unquote, that was headlining House of Blues in the Foundation Room bathroom while my friends were outside smoking.
Ah, Lisa, I knew it.
Someone I was not dating was married and I haven't seen since. How's that for dirt? Ha ha, I still got it. Thanks again, Lisa.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you hear? Oh. Can you hear that?
It's time once again.
It looks like the females are back. It's time for the estrogen OD. And this week, it's a little bit sad, I got to admit.
Yeah, we're going to have to pay a little tribute here to Ari Up, who passed away 20th October here this year, 2010. But God love her. You know, I had a good chance to meet her last spring when she did my last show. She came in the studio, and Nikki Garrett from the UK Subs was there as well. She was promoting her new album, and she was really just a fun person to hang out with. She's one of those people that's a true rebel, a really unique personality, and she's had such a lust for life.
She came from one of the great female punk bands of all time, one of the great punk bands of any kind of all time, the Slits, from England. They put female punk rock on the map along with X-Ray Specs, and you gotta give big ups to Ari up, and we certainly do here on Radio Like You Want. So we're gonna bring out you pulled out a pretty interesting cover jam this time around. It's not the Slits song we usually hear, but God, it's a great performance.
It's one of my favorite. This is my favorite Slits song of all time. It's on their debut album, Cut. And, much like a lot of the other reggae, dancehall, ska bands, they really loved Motown. And so here they are doing a cover of Heard It Through the Grapevine. This one goes out to Ari Up, R.I.P. You lived at large, Ari, right here on Radio
Like You Want.
Let me go, for this other girl. time.
Right there, New Bomb Turks. Before that, Ari up in the slits right there. RIP to Ari. Big thanks to Lisa Fancher for joining us this week. Check out the website, radiolikeyouwant.com, and join us next week when Eric Davidson is on the show.
He's from the New Bomb Turks. He's got that book, We Never Learn. It's chock full of facts and factoids about punk rock in the 1990s. And yours truly, Blag the Ripper, is all over that. So don't miss it, boys and girls. You know how we do every single week. It's Thursday night. It must be radio.
Like you want.
Let's do dope now.
Greedy Worldwide.